he had a problem with the recording from this last Sunday, so this is a re-recording after the fact. The Holy Gospel for the day was from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he had fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. When Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This text is the regular text for Thanksgiving. And so we have some of those wonderful hymns from around the best American holiday, which on this recording you're not going to hear. I'm sorry about that. But the text is really much richer than that simple moral. Jesus has been involved in arguments with the Pharisees and his own disciples for a while. So Luke reminds us that we are on the way to Jerusalem. He's reminded us at intervals before that Jesus is on the move. And in the background, we should remember that he's set his face to go to Jerusalem because no prophet dies outside its walls. But not only now does the city get brought back up. The trip is speeding up. And Jesus is crossing from Galilee to Samaria. We don't know exactly the path. Jesus could have been going right through Samaria. John lets us know that he's done that before. He could also just be skirting Samaria real closely, walking the border. And borders in the ancient world aren't fixed things. They didn't have GPSs and like that. They take place when one people blends into another, which is important to this miracle. The 10 lepers would have been a Jewish minion with one to spare, enough men for prayer. But what we don't know is all the other 9 are Jewish. We're walking the border. It's likely a mixed group, which might give us a handle on solidarity and suffering, or what Ephraim Radner calls a brutal unity. We find ourselves cast out for whatever form of social leprosy points that used to bitterly divide the people of God can recede. The 10, Samaritan and Jew, approach Jesus with a single prayer. "Master, have mercy on us." Maybe they had heard of his healings. Maybe they were just begging all. Jesus doesn't ask them what they want or if they want to be healed, as he often does in other places. He simply gives a command: go and show yourselves to the priests. This is a more difficult command than we might think, and a crucial point. The temple for Samaritans was on Mount Gerizim. The temple for Jews was in Jerusalem. Which priests in which temple did Jesus mean? Does Jesus mean to break up the minion? Jews go to Jerusalem, Samaritans go to Mount Gerizim? Seeing as he himself is a Jew, does he mean Jerusalem only, which the priests would not admit or examine the Samaritans? And even if they went, their own people wouldn't accept Jerusalem's ruling. Jesus' command is exactly what the law demands, but we've so fouled up the law that we can't hear it. We all have our own special interpretations or cherished traditions or simply denials about what the law says that we elevate above the word. Thanks be to God that our blindness doesn't stop the grace of God. All 10 lepers are cleansed. We don't know where the 9 go, but we know that they were cleansed. This cleansing And the language used throughout is important to understand a couple of things about Jesus. All of the miracles end up being an argument from the lesser to the greater. At one of those early miracles, Jesus stops to first say, "Your sins are forgiven," which causes a hubbub and calls of blasphemy, to which he replies, "Which is easier, forgiving sins or saying, 'Rise and walk'?" Now, from our human perspective, it's a whole lot easier to say your sins are forgiven, right? It's not like there's some galactic account book that we can just easily look it up with Google. Where when you tell someone to get up, and they don't, things are visible. But if you take it from God's perspective, from the Creator's perspective, miracles are trifling things. He made it all, didn't he? What's a simple fix? Sins, though, are offenses against the divine throne and name. Forgiving sins is tough work. Jesus does two things. From our human perspective, Jesus does the greater to us, performs the miracle, such that we might know his forgiveness is real. He comes to us with his grace. From the divine perspective, the miracles are signs and wonders. They're the lesser things pointing to the greater promise that your sins are forgiven. Being restored in body is a great thing, but being cleansed in soul is the greater work of God. And that is what the cross does. We have all been cleansed. God so loved the world, all of it, that he gave his only Son. We're not all 10 cleansed. Yes, they were. Does that blood not forgive the sins of the entire world? Yes, it does. The grace of God has been given to all and held before us in the proclamation of the cross. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, falling on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. One of them saw he was healed. One of them recognized the greater grace, saw the sign and wonder. And instead of going to the dead temples and the blind priests, one of them turned to Jesus. One of them recognized that the appropriate place to worship God was at the foot of this man. And that one was a Samaritan. Jesus drives home the point with what he calls him, this foreigner. Jesus quotes and applies the word that was posted at the Jerusalem temple gates, telling foreigners that they weren't welcome in its precincts. But at this temple, at the foot of the cross, all are welcome. At the foot of the cross, you don't find Jew or Samaritan or Greek, you find sinners. At the foot of the cross, you find those who recognize who they are and what has happened to them, and have returned to give thanks. There's a subtle shift in the language at the end of the text. Jesus tells the foreigner to rise and go, your faith has saved you. It's no longer the language of cleansing exactly. This is something deeper. All 10 were cleansed, but this one was saved. This goes back to the miracles as a sign towards the greater. As Luther would say about the first article of the Creed, God daily and richly provides for all that I need to support this body and life. We live in an age of miracles in those regards. Just the fact of immunization is still an incredible providence. But this world, this age, is always the lesser. God wants us to accept his greater gift, what he has done for us in Christ, which opens the door to
to the age to come. And the way we do that is simply faith. Faith that, yes, in these waters of baptism, we have been buried with Christ and have been forgiven. Faith that, yes, we too will rise. Faith that, yes, we can rise and go because we have been made whole, no longer diseased by fear and its divisions. We shall no longer be cut down and simply perish with this age. In Christ, we have eternal life. Amen.